family, and we've talked about marriage, and we've talked about being single, and we've talked about God's purpose for our family. And now we come to that point to where for the next three services, not tonight, but today, next Sunday morning, and then next Sunday night, we're going to be dealing with the subject of parenting. Any good pastor, preacher, is supposed to know the audience in which he's preaching. And so I realize that I not only have some parents here, but I have parents of people of all ages, and consequently, because of that, I have grandparents in this morning's worship service as well. And I want to encourage you that whether you're a parent or a parent-to-be or want to be someday, whether you're a grandparent, somewhere in between, I really want to encourage you to look with us together and give our hearts and give our minds to what God's design would be for us as parents, and really for children as well. I am not only delighted that we have a praying church family, but this morning when I was talking to Sandy Smith early, she was texting me, giving me an update, and I do encourage you to pray for Tony. He's not doing well, so I'm calling out there. And so after we get done praying, here's what she said. She said, "Preacher, I'm going to pray that you just give it to him really good today." And so you've got people that are your brothers and sisters in Christ praying that you just get it really good today. And what we want to get is is God's design for us as parents and for as families, and the way that we go about that task. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 4. And so let's read those together as we begin to think about parenting by God's design. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." Your translation may say to wrath. "Do not provoke them to wrath or anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The way we go about the task of parenting and raising our children and families has much to say about what we believe to be true about God. The way we go about parenting, raising our children, has much to say about what we believe to be true about God and His very character and His very nature. I hear all sorts of things these days from all sorts of sources, and I'm going to share a couple of those in just a moment, about parenting and about what families are about and the boundaries of families and blended families and mixed families and now families that would have two moms, two dads, and what all that potentially looks like. And I want to say to you that God's design for a man and a woman to come together was, first of all, to be a picture and an example of God's love for His church and His relationship with His bride, the local church. God the Father, in all of His splendor and beauty and power and majesty, interacting with us, His children, as the bride of Christ. That's the first purpose of marriage. The second is that we would go forth and, as the Lord commanded Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. I love when our church family is being fruitful and multiplying. Now, some of you old-timers here would be saying, "Oh, preacher, don't encourage them. Don't encourage them," right? But I just want to say to you, when Brian stands up here and he says, "We've got three and one on the way," I want to say, "Amen, go, Brian and Jenny, go, go, go." Sometimes I wish we'd had three boys and three girls. I'm not for sure I know a thing in the world to do with a little girl. But sometimes I wish we maybe would have had more children at a younger age. And maybe when all of our boys are married and they're marrying us grandchildren, maybe we'll attempt to raise a little girl out of foster care, or a little girl from China who was thrown away in a garbage can. Do y'all realize that's going on? Hello? Are y'all aware of that? The Chinese government will limit how many children you can have to carry on the family name. Young Chinese couples want boys and not girls. So when the mama delivers, if it's a girl, they cast them away many times. I just believe God's design for families is a lot more important than that. If you believe that, say amen. think life is just a lot more valuable than that. And so today, Parenting by God's Design, live with Kelly and Michael's co-host Kelly Ripa, made news recently, big time headlines, as she shared the following statement on air. The statement I'm about to read is verbatim, and it was in response to her telling the story about how they have rules for cell phone usage for their three children, two of which are teenagers, and she was referring to her daughter, and during their homework study quiet time, the phones are to go up, but she realized her daughter had been texting and using the phone while she was supposed to be doing her study homework time, so she took the phone from her daughter. And her co-host asked her, how did that go? And she responded, and I quote, I don't think she likes me, but I really don't care. She said, I'm like, I'm not your friend, but I'm your mom, and I'm supposed to parent you. Well, when secular media and news got a hold of that, they ripped Kelly Ripa apart. They just absolutely threw her to the wolves. What do you mean you're not her friend? What do you mean you're her parent? Aren't those things the same thing? Can't you do both and? And I mean, just great controversy in the news. Now for some time, Minnesota Viking running back Adrian Peterson has been in the news for spanking his child with a switch that left whelps on his four-year-old son's legs. It's raised the debate of if corporal punishment is ever a right form of corrective discipline. And I mean, the news has just been all over the place. Those who have been raised with corporal punishment as a proper form of discipline would say, you know, switching someone is not bad. Maybe you shouldn't leave whelps. Certainly you shouldn't do it as a four-year-old on a four-year-old child. But disciplining a child in that capacity may not be wrong. So your old-timers are saying, man, that may not be wrong. All your younger folks are screaming out saying, child abuse, take the child's privileges away from him. Never hearing the whole story. That when Peterson saw what he had done, that he began to weep and embrace his son and tell him how sorry he was. He didn't realize that the punishment that he was inflicting was so terrible. All this news out there going on. It makes us say that biblical Christian parenting is not for the faint of heart. Can I get an amen? It involves real spiritual maturity. It involves insight. It involves courage and commitment. It involves discipline and grace. And that is just all on the parent's part. I am not a perfect parent. I am learning day by day. You want to know some real encouraging news? All of you senior adults who've raised children all the way through adulthood, you know what I'm about to say. Parenting is a lifetime and a lifelong process. You just parent at different stages, right? And so you go from nurturing stage of feeding them and teaching them how to walk and talk and do all of those things, what is initially appropriate or inappropriate behavior, helping them discover who God has made them, to them being adults and you giving them counsel and listening to them and really just starting to serve as a counselor and being able to interact with them on a basis where they not only love you and respect you, but they really want to know, how did you and mom do it? How did you accomplish that? There's no such thing as perfect parents. If you believe that, say amen. One perfect parent, and his name is God. And he did it just right with Jesus, right? And so let's look at God's word and talk about parenting by God's design. If we're going to parent by God's design, first of all, must love our children, and we must love our children as we educate them, as we educate them. If you want to parent according to God's word by God's design, you're going to take seriously as a mom and a dad, you're going to take seriously your role as a teacher, your primary role as an educator, because in verses 1 through 3, we see first right off there that Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And so there's this idea of teaching and training. There are principles that are being taught. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Most of the time we hear that and we take that as a promise. Well, if we do right by our children the way God wants us to when they're old, even if they stray a little bit, they're going to come back. And that's not the heart of what Solomon is saying. What Solomon is saying is this, that that word train means to put something into the mouth or to let them taste it. And it's as if we are nursing infants to a place of adulthood, to where they can begin to feed for themselves. It carries with it the idea to give elementary instruction, to train, to pass on this instruction to the children. We love our children by educating our children. We educate our children by making it a priority. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, I want to remind you today, first, right off the bat, that one of our primary responsibilities is to train, to teach, and to educate, and to do that across a broad spectrum, right? So what is that spectrum? We're to educate our children biblically, and I don't have time to quote all of these passages, but I would make mention of Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is a huge passage about our responsibility to train our families and to train our children. We are to educate them biblically. We want to equip our children, train our children, educate our children to think biblically. It's the best way that they can possibly think. How many of you, when you think biblically, you do all right in life? Will you raise your hand? How many of you, when you don't think biblically, you've gotten yourself in trouble at some time or another? Would you raise your hand? And so our responsibility as parents is to educate our children to think biblically, to look at life the way God looks at life, and to understand what our role in life is all about according to God's word. But we're to educate our children spiritually, to have a relationship, a real relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We are to train them up spiritually to be able to recognize the presence of God. That most of the time is just an overflow of training them up biblically. The result of that is so that their heart can be shaped by God. They can realize they're a sinner. They can confess their sin, repent of their sin, and then they can know God and follow him all of their days. We are to educate our children academically. I'm going to say that one more time. We are to educate our children academically, and if I have any students in the room or children or adult children in the room, I want to say to you, this is a primary responsibility of yours, not a secondary. You are not just to love God with all of your heart, you are to love God with all of your mind. And to love God with all of your mind means that you must be educated academically as well. You are educated biblically, spiritually, and academically. So all the truth that is contained within the experience of the cosmos, we recognize as God's truth. And we recognize that in every fabric and aspect of the truth that we encounter, there is God, there is the gospel, and there is his plan for our life. So, grandma and grandpa, so dad and mom, it is of utmost importance that we teach our children how to read, and that we teach our children how to write, and that we teach our children how to do math, and that we don't make negative comments about their teachers, and we don't throw down on the school system, and we don't say things like, education really don't matter, it never did me any good. Are y'all listening today? If you are, say amen. I have one regret in my whole life. Do you want to know what that regret is? One regret in my whole life. It is that when I was called to ministry, I didn't right then go full-time as a student and not only get my bachelor's in biblical preaching or theology, but go ahead and get my master's and my doctorate as well. And you say, why is that? Because now at 50, my influence is limited to Glasgow and Barron County. Whereas if I would have been trained and I had my doctorate right now, my influence could be to the nations. I could be a trustee on our international mission board. I could be having influence with our North American mission board. I know those guys, right? I have conversations with those guys. I could possibly be used as an adjunct professor, and the 27 years of preaching experience and pastoral experience I have, rather than just sharing it with a few guys here locally, I could be sharing that with guys all over the country. But can I say to you, I am limited in my influence because academically I didn't get all that I could get when the timing was right. If you understand your pastor, say amen. Amen. Grandmas, grandpas, moms, and dads, don't limit your children. Teach them. Teach them how to think. Teach them how to relate. And if you say, I don't want to teach them because I'm afraid that what they're going to learn academically is somehow going to contradict what we believe to be true about God, absolutely not. Are y'all listening to what I'm about to say? You can tell I'm passionate about this subject, can't you? Listen to me. Everything that they learn academically is going to be coherently fit into God's plan, and it can be explained. There is no professor with no matter how many degrees that is smarter than our God. And when we equip our children, they come to realize, you know, everything that God declares that he is in his word is absolutely true, and I can see it in a very clear way. So we educate our children. We make it a priority, biblically, spiritually, academically, practically. We teach our children how to tie their shoes. Can I get an amen? I'm mentoring a kid right now, and I've met with him for probably 2 years now, year and a half now. And this kid is in the sixth grade, and he can't tie shoes. And I'm saying to him, son, sit up here. And let me show you how to tie your shoes. And so last year, probably 6 or 8 times, I showed him how to tie his shoes. And this year, I'm just saying, do you remember what I taught you last year? And he'll say, yes. And I'll say, tie them shoes. And he'll say, Randy, it's got a knot in it. And I'll say, I don't care if it's got a knot. Get the knot out and let's tie your shoes. It's important for us to be able to logically think coherently about God and academics. But it's important for you to be able to tie your shoe. Can I get an amen? We just have to be able to teach our children practically. We really do. And so we educate our children academically, practically, and relationally. We'll hear more about that in just a moment. God has created us for his self and his church and to have relationships. And so if we allow our children to run from relationships, it's not the most healthy thing for them. We need to teach them how to embrace relationships. So we educate our children, we love them by educating them, and another reason that we make it a priority is because educating our children comes with this wonderful promise. Look at what he says in verse 2 and 3, that it may go well with you, and then he says that you may live long in the land. This is the fifth commandment. And so God's telling Moses, Paul is reiterating it here, I'm about to sneeze, if I do, I'm just going to ask you to forgive me in advance. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? When we learn expectations and we are teachable and we receive instruction from our parents, we honor them. And as we honor them, God is pleased with his plan designed for our lives as children. And he says, you know what? Your life will go well. And it may go well with you. What? Life. I want my boy's life to go well. Don't you? I don't want them to be unteachable or rebellious or hard-hearted. I want them to receive all that God has for them and that their life would not be a burden and full of heartache and pain, but that their life could be a life full of the contentment of knowing God here in this place at this time. So we educate our children because there's this promise that, you know what, God says, if you receive instruction, you honor your parents, you learn to obey them as they're instructing you, it's going to be well with you. And then he says this, are you listening? Watch this. He says that you may live long in the land. I want that. I saw Mary Gilly pulling out. We were running a little late today, and I said, there's Mary Gilly, 90-year-old Mary Gilly. And all my boys at once said, Miss Gilly ain't 90 years old, Daddy. I said, she's 83. How old is she, Becky? 83? She's 85. Praise God. Tell them boys that, Mama. Mary Gilly. And I said, there's Mary Gilly, sick husband, rolling out of bed, coming to church. She's going to teach them little kids. She's going to make meatloaf, right? Hallelujah for the meatloaf. She's going to make meatloaf for us on Wednesday nights. There's Mary Gilly, 85, serving Jesus. They said, she's not 90. I said, well, Miss Marie is 90. Can I get an amen, Miss Marie? You're 93, aren't you? And just glad to be alive and to be here, right? We're glad to see you. Listen, Kentucky plays tonight, but the choir's singing, and you be here. You be here for the choir, Miss Marie. You be here. We'll record that game for you, but you be here. If you're here, that may be an example for Marshall to be here. Can I get an amen? I'll be here. Pick, this is not the way you preach. You do not have dialogue with your with your crowd. I'm just telling you, I'm going nowhere fast. A longer life, that you may live long in the land. I want that for our boys. Are you listening today, church family? Not only do you want to live a long life, but you want your children to live a long life. You want them to be fruitful and multiply. You want to see them receive God's best. And so it's imperative that we educate our children, because God says it's a priority, and he says it's a priority in which he really wants to promise and encourage our children. And then here's the second thing, if we're going to parent by God's design. We love our children by educating them, and we love our children as we encourage them. It's not all work. It's not all education. It's not all just learning and training and all of this kind of discipline. We encourage them. Verse 4, do not provoke your children to anger or wrath. In a congregation of this size, and then our 10 o'clock service, there will be those among us who from time to time have provoked our children to wrath and anger. We've been too hard when we should have been softer, and we've been softer when we should have been harder. We've been lazy when we should have been diligent, and we were overzealous when we should have laid back. And in all those times, we provoke our children to wrath. And the Holy Spirit says through the pen of the Apostle Paul, do not provoke your children to anger. He says in verse 4, we should avoid making them angry. That's what he's saying. We avoid doing things to our children that's going to encourage them to be angry. We do just the opposite. We lead them in such a way, and we encourage them in such a way that they're not angry, that they're not mad, that they're not wrathful, but that they are joyful. How do we go about doing that? Well, we do that by continually being active in giving them instruction and advice. He says, do not provoke your children to anger. But he says, it is in the bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. That's what he says. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What does that mean? Are you tracking with me today? Sit up here. Don't miss this. We encourage our kids when we are informing them about where the boundaries are and what the expectations are that you have for them. In the Shaw household, we did not realize at the family dinner table that we could not clown. I'm talking about growing up. Not Tracy and I, but me with Willis and Maxine and Rich and Barry and crazy Brenda. We just didn't realize, right? We just didn't realize that we shouldn't clown at the supper table. If we'd have realized we shouldn't have clowned at the supper table, we wouldn't have done it. Therefore, we would have avoided spilling the milk, and therefore, we would have avoided Willis's belt coming off at the dinner table and him slinging it across at us. right there at 6522 West 63rd Place in Chicago, Illinois. And then when he folded it in half, look out, because he had real aim then, right? He was going to get control of that thing. If my dad would have said, boys, crazy little Brenda, if he would have said, I do not want y'all clowning around because you're going to spill milk. And me and mama don't have a lot of extra money to be wasting milk. And I'm working all I can. And so at dinner table, let's do what's right. And then y'all go clown around afterwards. We'd have maybe got that message. And we wouldn't have had to been disciplined for spilling milk. You say, how often did y'all spill milk? Once a week. Somebody did. We get to clowning and jostling around and knocking the table and glasses would go over. And formative instruction and discipline that lets your children know, listen to me, what God desires of them and what you desire of them is a great way to keep them from being angry and wrathful. If you exercise corrective discipline without ever teaching them what is expected, they don't understand why they're being disciplined. My mom never told me if you shoot a cap gun at a little chihuahua named Tinkerbell, it's going to cause that heart, the heartbeat of that dog to race, and it could have a heart attack, and I love that dog, then I'm going to be mad. So therefore, I chased that dog all around the house with that cap gun, trapped it under the bed, and I was laying into that dog. It wasn't a dog then. It was a mountain lion. My mom had me go outside, and she gave me some little pruner things, and she said, you cut me a switch, and it better not be a dead one. And I came in, and I was much older than Adrian Peterson's little boy, but she wore me out, and there were whelps on my legs, and I'm not advocating that. I am not advocating that for especially a four-year-old child. But if I would have known I better not chase the dog and shoot the dog with a cap gun, even though I'm pretending it's a mountain lion, I would have probably not got the switching. Are you listening, parents and grandparents? You say, well, they ought to have more sense than that. They would if you would teach them. They would if you were diligent about equipping. They would if you were really diligent and serious about this task. Are you tracking with me? But if we fall short, those kids don't have a chance. And so we avoid, I've got to hurry up. We avoid provoking them to wrath by teaching them boundaries and expectations. And then lastly this morning, listen to this verse 4. Listen to verse 4. There's a phrase here that I don't want you to miss. He says, but bring them up. Bring them up how? He says, bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. We love our children as we empower them. So God designed for us as parents and as children is that we would educate our children, that we would encourage our children, not provoking them to anger, and that we would love our children as we empower them, bringing them up. And I want to say this is our chief task. Our chief task is bringing these children up that God has entrusted to us so that they would know him and love him and be willing to serve him. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, we see that Jesus grew. We see that Mary and Joseph, but more importantly, the Father and the Holy Spirit was bringing Jesus up. And the Bible says that Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, increased in wisdom intellectually, in stature physically, and in favor with God spiritually and with man. He found favor with God and man, that is socially. This is the way Jesus grew. And I would say to you, if God saw fit to grow Jesus that way, he wants to grow our children that way as well, intellectually, physically, spiritually, socially. We love our children by understanding that God wants to use us to help bring them up into mature spiritual adulthood to where they'll know him and serve him. And so with that, there are three thoughts. Are you listening fast? I'm going to give them to you. We're going to pray. I'm going to invite you to come and pray for your children, and then we're going to be off to small groups. Number one, children are under-challenged. Children are under-challenged. Empower your children by having high expectations for them. High expectations for them. I want our boys to leave our home believing that they can be president of the United States if that's what they want to do. I want them to leave our home thinking that they can lead a Fortune 500 company, they could lead other political offices, they could teach, they can do whatever God leads them to do. Do not under-challenge your children. Have high expectations for them. High, listen to this, have high, godly, kingdom-minded expectations for your children. I do not want my children just to learn how to make a living. I want our boys to know God so that they can know how to make a life in Christ. And they can follow him wherever he leads. Children are under challenge. Challenge the time out of your children. You know what? This week I know the story of Al Mohler and Russ Moore, and then Al Mohler tweeted something about Russ Moore, and I just saw where that was going. Russ Moore from Mississippi, who grew up, came to know Christ, began to pursue the Lord in theological education. He served one of the state senators there in Mississippi. He went on to Southern Seminary to be Mohler's grader, ultimately the dean of the School of Theology, now the president of our Ethics and Religious Liberties Council. He has a tremendous calling to help us to think biblically about social and national and really international issues. The Vatican invited Russ Moore from Mississippi, country music loving and listening, Russ Moore, to the Vatican to a council that the Pope was having on marriage and family, and they wanted Russ Moore this past week to preach at the Vatican, a Southern Baptist preacher preaching at the Vatican. Can I get an amen? Now watch this. He met Al Mohler as a young high school student. Mohler challenged him to go deep with God and not to hold anything back. He began to build this relationship with Mohler. And so Mohler's tweet was this: men, make sure you give attention to the students that are in your student ministry and children's ministry, because you never know what God's plan is for them. I'm asking God not only to do great things in our boys, I'm asking God to do great things in your boys and your girls. I think it'd be great to see Gabe Cowles be the governor of the state of Kentucky. Can I get an amen? Wouldn't that be refreshing? I mean refreshing. Somebody that knew God and loved God as a governor. That's almost like a brand new thought, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't it be neat if Grayson Pickrell was the superintendent of Barron County Schools someday? You think, well, that kid's got a long way to go. Well, you know what? I believe God can get him there. Can I get an amen? And what happened if Grayson stood up and said, we're going to teach every one of these kids how to follow Jesus with their whole heart? I don't care if the government comes down on us or not. We're going to teach and do what they ask us to do, but we're also going to do what God would have us do. Can I get an amen? Children are under challenge. Children are over pampered. I'm glad I'm out of time. Children are under challenge. Children are over pampered. Quit spoiling your kids. Let me just share with you a third remark, and then I'll close. Children are remarkably resilient. So don't panic in your parenting. Don't panic when your kids are messing up. Don't panic. Remember God's promise that he wants you to raise your children in the Lord and do your very best in diligence to raise them in Christ. Help them to know God's word and trust those kids to him. Children are remarkably resilient. Levi was coming down the drive, the long drive at 135 Longhunters. Levi used to be a trusting child. I built a ramp at the bottom of the drive upon his request. I remember jumping those ramps in the city. I never had a hill that I drove down in the city that would launch me. I always just rode flat and would go off these ramps. That's what I was remembering. Levi was on his bike, and he came down that drive, probably going 15 or 20 miles an hour, and he hit that ramp. And I was yelling, pull up, pull up, pull up. He wasn't getting that front wheel up. And that front wheel came down on the ground first, and Levi came off of that bike like a missile. Pew! He hit the ground, and he rolled. His lip was cut. You could tell he was bruised up. You know how you do when you... He was crying. Daddy, you've tried to kill me. Not on purpose, Levi. Not on purpose. And I said, Levi, once he got a little better, I said, Levi, first of all, I said something like, don't go inside and tell your mama. And I said, Levi, you're going to get back on that bike. We're going to do it one more time. You're going to pull up. You said, no, you didn't. And I said, oh, yeah. We went just about a quarter of the way up the driveway. And he did pull up, and he did land it. You say, why in the world did you do that? I wanted him not to be hindered by a fear the rest of his life. And I wanted him to get back up once he fell down. Listen to me, moms and dads. If you pamper your children and you're always picking them up, listen to me, and you're always letting them lay there, and you're always saying, you never have to try again, I want you to understand something. You are empowering them to be gripped by fear. Listen. God picks us up and he puts us right back in the race. When we sin and we drop the ball, God says, turn from it. Now get back up. Smacks us on the back and says, get back in there and start living for Jesus again. And we do that day after day after day after day. But what God does not tolerate is us just wallowing in self-pity and saying, I'm a miserable Christian, a miserable failure, so I'm never going to attempt anything great for God again. No, that's unconscionable, right? We fall, we have tough times. So I would tell you that children are over-pampered. Are you ready? I'm going to give them to you fast. We love our children. They're resilient. We empower them by getting down on their level. Philippians 2. By loving our mate, our spouse, Ephesians 5, 25 through 33, I wish I had an hour just to teach on that. Your children develop so much esteem and right thinking as they see you loving your spouse correctly. We love our children by disciplining them, Proverbs 13, 24, 17, 10, and 29, 15. By looking at them, Proverbs 20, 12. By touching them and loving them. Jake is in the seventh grade. I loved on him last night. I hugged on him. He said, you think I can get up in mama's bed? I said, get up here, Jake. Get up here. And I hugged on my 12-year-old boy who's probably almost as tall as I am. I said, come here, son. I want to love on you. I want you to feel my touch. We love them by spending time with them, Deuteronomy 6, 7 through 9, listening to them, James 1, 19, by blessing them rather than cursing them, Matthew 7, by having fun with them, Proverbs 15, 13, 17, 22, Ecclesiastes 3, 4, by nudging them out of the nest, Ecclesiastes 3 through 6, that's harder than what I imagined, admitting when you are wrong, James 5, 16, parents, sometimes you get a fresh start with your kids when you just say, I blew it. All right, and so I'm sorry, and now let's start at that again. And then introducing them to the perfect parent who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you stand to your feet? I want to encourage you this morning to receive the charge from God's word to educate, encourage, and empower your children. And so this morning I want to invite you to come and say, God, by your Bible, by your word, by your power, God, by your design, I want to be that kind of parent. So I want to invite you to come. And whether you come and do that publicly, by way of accountability where our church family can pray for you. Whether you do that in your seats, I want to encourage you to say, oh God, in the power of your word and spirit, help me to educate, help me to encourage, and help me to empower these kids. They're yours. Are y'all okay with that? Our children and grandchildren are not ours, they're his. Maybe you want to pray for your kids, your grandkids. I want to invite you to come. God, work. Thank you for your word. God, help Tracy and I to be the best parents we can be, not for the sake of being best, but for your kingdom. Help us to raise godly, kingdom-focused, minded kids for your glory. God, we need you to help us do that. So work in us, I pray. As Justin leads us, you come.